I'm on now. So I have in just a minute. I've got something I'm going to have some preparation for camp for skits here that Jay and Chris have agreed without seeing what I was going to have them do to do. But I want to welcome you tonight, and for those of you who are live streaming, welcome. And I hope those of you who are at home sick that we can see you here again with us soon. And those who are in other places, I hope that you feel the blessings and the guidance of the Lord. I have something on my... So I actually, this morning I had three sermons. And I wasn't sure which I was going to preach. And I had gone and prepared a whole PowerPoint for one. And as I was praying about it and considering, you know, I felt to look through some of the notes I have in my phone. And I felt to go a different way. When we were at youth camp this year, I taught a class for the 17-year-olds on marriage. And Aaron had taught it previously. He had given me some slides and things that he had, and I went through it, and I kind of took and made our class, and we kind of went a couple days kind of free-form through some of the things that were on my heart. But as I was going through the week, and as I was thinking about some things that I had heard that had nothing to do with marriage but had a parallel to it, I began writing down notes in my phone about something that I want to talk about tonight. And so if I were to title my sermon tonight, it would be Why Obey the Commandments. But we're going to spend this entire time talking about romantic relationships. And about relationships, it doesn't necessarily have to be romantic, because in saying that, you know, I'm going to cut out a good portion of you who aren't married. But what I want you to think as we talk about these things, I want you to think about some things that has to do with a relationship. Within this room right here, I have, clearly, you know, I have my wife here, and we have a relationship. We have a love for each other. I have friends who are here. You know, I mean, all of you know me, and we have a relationship, every one of you. Some of us are closer than others. It's just a reality of things. I'm closer with Aaron than I am with some other people. I'm closer with Gary than some other people. But every one of us have a relationship. But, you know, if you look in your life and you consider some of these important relationships in your life, I want you to think about this as we talk today, and I hope not to go too long, because I think I got six scriptures I want to go through, and that's it. Maybe seven. But I want you to think about relationships, okay? And I want you to remember, as we talk about relationships, this overarching theme is this question of why do we obey the Lord's commandments? And this is something we've talked about. We've done Sunday schools about it and all that, and there is this contention within Christianity today that has to do with the importance of what you do. Is what I do important? Or is it simply the fact that I accept Christ and that makes everything else unimportant? This is a legitimate conversation, and you've probably had it at where I work on an alternate shift of mine. I had to work to pay back a shift that someone had covered for me last week. And so on that first day of my work week, which was 3 days in a row, my first one, I was working with a different crew. And on that crew, the engineer is a very excited guy. He's going to seminary to be a minister. And so every single person in my department knows I'm a minister, I'm a pastor. And so I have these conversations frequently. And I found as I went through this 24 hours with him, so we talked about things, I tried to be real cautious. I gotta live with this guy for 24 more hours before my crew comes in. But you begin this thought process that is going on in the world where we put... it's as if there's a thought that is what we do, our actions don't have as great of an emphasis as what I think it does and as what I feel like the scriptures give it. And all I want to do today, I want to discuss some things. And again, remember, we're going to talk about it in the realm of relationships. But we're going to do this. We're going to start out with two scriptures. The first one I'm going to have you go to is in Matthew, the 22nd chapter. And we're going to read quickly 34 through 40, and most of you can probably recite this. And so if you can, don't turn to it, and you can recite it with me if you care to. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." I'm going to stop there. We know what goes after that. We'll read it in a second. But you know, Christ says that this is the greatest commandment. This is on the top of the pyramid. This is the very top of it, that you're supposed to have this affection, this love, this desire for the Lord, every bit of your being. And so I think back to when my wife and I, before she was my wife, when we started dating, and I think about this in terms of it. It's kind of weird to me. It is weird when we talk about loving Christ, because Christ is obviously informed. He was a man, and that makes me a little, you know, it's a little odd to think about. But I do love Christ. But I think about it. When my wife and I first started dating, and those of you who have dated, you know what this feels like. You want to be with them all the time. I remember, and I'm probably going to get the specifics of it down, but I remember, and I hope I don't embarrass them and come out of line when I say this, but when Jim and Kim started dating, they were far away, and if I remember right, there was phone bills that were in the thousands of dollars, am I right? $900. $900. For those of you who are young and you don't realize, there used to be a time when if you dialed long distance to another state, for every minute you were on the phone, there was a cost for it. You know, that was what I felt like when my wife and I first started dating. All I wanted was to be with her. Every moment. I forewent sleep. You know, I was working nights at the time, and I just didn't want to sleep. I wanted to go, and I wanted to be with her. You know, and I would stay over, and we would be together until the very last moment. I knew exactly how long it was going to take me to drive over to Thunderbird Samaritan. I knew exactly when, and I can clock in right on time. Every moment, I wanted to be with her. When she would call me, you know, my heart would start pitter-patting sort of stuff, right? Because I wanted to be with her. So not the same way, but I've had friendships where I've had this closeness with friends, and I want to be around them. I see them, and I want to go and talk to them. I have something to tell them. I have something I want to be a part of them with. I want to share. I want to hear. We have this love for that friend, a yearning to be with them. And so I want you to think about that. As Jesus says, this most important commandment is, this is what you ought to feel for God. For Christ, we ought to feel this, to love Him, to want to be a part, to hear, to have interaction with every part of our being, with all of our heart and with all of our soul. Does any of us accomplish that commandment? I have yet to do it, bless you. Okay? I've yet to do it. This is what our goal is. This is what we're supposed to do. And I want you to think about that. This is that first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I want to go real quick to the Book of Mormon, 1 Nephi chapter 5. 1 Nephi chapter 5. Decided I was going to use my paper scriptures today. I haven't done that in a while, and I find that my fingers don't go as quickly as they used to. A little out of touch with them. Decided I'd use them, so I'll slow down a little bit today. Page 57, if you're not using a digital device, and we're going to read verse 130 and 131. And this is Nephi. He's talking to his family, and he's teaching them in this exhortation, this sermon that he's preaching. And he says, and he's speaking of the Lord, and he says, "He ruleth high in the heavens, for it's his throne, and the earth is his footstool, and he loveth them which will have him to be their God." And so we see here this reciprocal thing that we're called to love, to have this desire and this affection for and this feeling within us. We want to be close. We want to be knitted together. We want all of this with God. And it says that he reciprocates and he loves. He has that same desire, those who want him to be their leader, who want him to be their God, who want to worship him. He has that same feeling. And we don't ascribe that very often to think about it. But you know, when I love God and when I want him to be the leader of my life, it gives him a pitter-patter in his heart. He wants to interact with me. He wants to wait to the very last moment before he goes to work so he can be with me. when he sees that I love him. And so I want us to think about this as now we go into a little improv acting. Not me, Chris and Jay. So, we have three scenes that we're going to go through here, and every one of them is silly, and maybe it'll kind of make the point to begin with that I want to here. But I've asked them, and we kind of did a similar-ish thing in, and Logan was in it in my marriage class, this thing. But we're going to try this. So I'm going to ask Chris and Jay to come up here, and I'm going to assume the role of narrator, and you guys can go down here with your bride, and I shall narrate. If you want the microphone, you guys can have it. If you don't want it, that's okay. Probably not.
What's that?
We got it. If that mic's on, I think we'll be okay. All right. Alvin and Christine have been married for many years. As you would assume, there are occasional issues which come up. Today, we see that their dishwasher is broken and it needs to be replaced. Let's listen in on their years of wisdom as they address this problem. See, Chris is wanting to replace the dishwasher, but Jay thinks it's just fine for her to hand wash the dishes, probably forever.
Our dishwasher's broken.
Sorry.
Well, do you think maybe we could get a new one?
Oh, we don't have enough money. You can't do it. It's going to be a long time. I have to wait. Maybe next Christmas.
Wow. Christmas?
Really? Well, maybe you can sell some of your clothes.
That's a possibility.
At least your shoes.
Well, you know, I spend a lot of time doing things, you know, and having a dishwasher broken.
We all do lots of stuff. We're always working hard. Everyone's
working. But it would save me so much time.
But it's your job.
All right, end scene. I love it. It's an improv comedy. We're ready for camp. All right, here we go. Alvin and Christine have been married for many years. As you would assume, there are occasional issues which come up. Today, we see that the dishwasher is broken and needs to be replaced. Let's listen in on their years of wisdom as they address this problem.
Honey, don't you think we should replace the dishwasher? I mean...
Honey, don't you think we should replace the dishwasher?
I just want to try and help.
I just want to try and help you. Always say stuff like that.
I'll be willing to load it. Oh, you know.
Whatever.
Adam will help me put it in.
Uh-huh. Yeah, load it. Yeah, right.
So,
why do we need a dishwasher?
Well, it'll be helpful. We'll be able to take walks in the evening. We can put the dishes in and go for a nice walk.
Stop whining.
All right, end scene. Alvin and Christine have been married for many years. As you would assume, there are occasional issues which come up. Today, we see that their dishwasher is broken and needs to be replaced. Let's listen in on their years of wisdom as they address this problem.
The dishwasher stopped working today, and I think probably we should figure out a way to get another one.
Oh, sure, that'd be fine.
I think probably what we need to do, and I know you'll really like this, is that we can get some really nice-smelling dish soap and maybe put in some, like, essential oils so it smells even better.
That'd be
and
just fine.
And then we could do it for a little while and save up some money and, you know, have aromatherapy. And
that'll be great.
And we might even wait a lot longer to get a dishwasher because we're doing things together and, you know, so
that's
calm.
As long as we're together. That's
right. Yeah. That's the important thing.
That's the important thing.
You got a cringe from Zane right there. That's right. Thank you for your help. Okay. Totally silly, I know. Completely silly. One of these things that we did. So if we were to look at those three scenarios here, I picked them because I knew that they have a wonderful marriage and they like to have a little bit of goofy fun and all that. But one of these things we look right there is we see three different real quick pictures of a relationship and two of them in some form of dysfunction. right? Two people who are linked together, two people who have a life and a purpose and all of that together, and yet something's not working quite right. In this marriage class I did, I wrote a bunch of different things on a piece of paper, and I had the group of everybody pair up. And to one of them, I gave a piece of paper, and I said, here's the game, is you have to pitch some sort of a new thing. What was it, Logan, that I said? Some business idea or something like that. You two need to talk about it together and come to something. In 5 minutes, you guys are going to present it to the group. And then that person who had the piece of paper, they open it up. And one of them, it said, you know, you're going to tell this person everything they say is stupid. Doesn't matter what they say, it's stupid. On the next one, it's all you're going to do is agree with everything. Doesn't matter what this person says. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's great. On the next one, it was like you're going to ignore this person no matter what they say. You're not going to pay attention to them. And I just threw all those things in there. And what I did is we did it. And I said, you know, and so we added a little bit of stress there because, of course, they had to present it. And it's just there was like 10 of us or something. But, you know, within that group, we had a lot of perfectionists and things like that. And they wanted to get it right. And so I saw it. It was very frustrating. And that person who didn't know what was going on had no clue why that other person was acting like a knucklehead. And we talked about it, about all these different ways that we can be dysfunctional in a relationship. And I want us to think about that because, again, we're talking about this greatest commandment is that we're supposed to be pursuing and being a part of this relationship, however you want to term it, romantic, probably not, this close friendship, whatever, this deep relationship with God. And what I want us to walk away from this in is how are you in your relationship? What does it look like? Is it one that we see various levels of dysfunction, or do you and God work together? So I want to go to another scripture here, and I want to read in Ephesians in the 5th chapter. Super, super common verses when we're talking about marriage. I'll read 25 through probably 27, says this: husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. And so we see this picture here when we start talking about this relationship of husbands and wives, and we see it's the same relationship. It gives this parallel about Christ and the church. It's talking about this very thing that we're called to have this love for the Lord and to feel and to see ourselves as we are bonded together with Him. And it talks about what the Lord is doing for us, how He views us and what it is that he's doing for us. I want us to think about this. You know, our relationship with Christ, it is and it was not free. He gave, and we also must give. Consider that our actions, it has a bearing on how we view our relationship with Him. Just as my actions with my wife or with my friend, it gives a view of what I feel for them. This is something that has to be close to us as Christians all the time. You know, when we go every day and we interact with people, or we are just going and we're stuck with the thoughts that are within our mind, okay? Everything that we say and everything that we do is indicative of what our relationship is with God. Is it dysfunctional? Or is it the way that the Lord asked for it to be? I want to go to a scripture here in 1 Corinthians in the 6th chapter in the 20th verse. We'll go 19 and 20. The verses that are previous to this, it talks about some of these things that we find ourselves challenged with, sexual immorality and fornication and these things that are out there in the world, and that perhaps at some point in our life or maybe even now we've struggled with these things. You know, and Paul is saying, I want you to think about this though. He says, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. I want to think about this for a moment. I forgot to announce it, but on Wednesday we're going to have a baptism. going to be different. We're going to have a baptism on Wednesday night. I don't want to embarrass my son, but Easton's going to be baptized. And hopefully the rain holds off long enough for us to do it. If not, he'll get a pre-washing before he's washed. It's okay. You know, throughout all of my upbringing and throughout my teaching and all that, we talk about this, that this ordinance of baptism, it is like you're marrying, right? It's this lifelong commitment. And one of these things we do when we get married is we exchange something, and we exchange a ring, and it's something. Now, I don't wear my ring anymore because it's made of titanium, and I busted my knuckles enough that last time I got it on, I couldn't get it off, and it freaked me out, and so I worked it off, and I don't wear it anymore. We spent much more money on my wife's ring, and she wears it all the time. It's with her, a reminder and all that. I want you to think about this, is that when you were baptized and you committed your life to do what Christ said, that you're going to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. That he gave you something. He gave you this gift of the Holy Ghost, something to always be with you, to be this reminder that I love you. And our responsibility is to likewise show the Lord that we love him. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Within you is this gift of commitment that God gave you. Says, what you have of God, he gave it to you, and you're not your own. For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so we think about this. We ought to think about this in our relationship with Christ. It's just as our relationship with our spouse or with a friend. There's something that tied us together. And whether it's a mutual desire for some activity that we do together with the friends, or we've just had this bond and we share everything together, whatever, there's something that has knit us together. You know, those of us who are married, there's something that's knit us together. Stop texting me, Brandon. Get a ring. All right. I'll get one of the little squishy gummy ones. All right. Sorry. Everything we do, you know, I am in a job right now that I interact with a lot of people, and you know, we sit around. One of the things we have at the fire station is a lot of time, and we talk about all sorts of things. And you know, how I speak of my wife gives a view of what I feel like our relationship is. Do I speak highly? Do I speak poorly? All of those things. And it's the same way with the Lord. I want us to think about that. If we're joined together with him, if we're married to him, if we're bonded with him, if we've given something and we've exchanged it, and this earnest of each other is within us, everything we do is a reflection on that. It should be something that we consider all the time. And when we talk about this thing that is in Christianity today, about whether or not what we do matters, whether it has a bearing, if we don't think that our actions matter, that Christ just simply loves us because we've accepted him and everything we do is less important, it cheapens his sacrifice for us. It cheapens it. Because he didn't give himself for us, he didn't pay a price for us so that we continue to live as we once did, or so that we belittle his sacrifice or his love for us. But rather, it's like we see in Ephesians. It says that he does these things that he might bring us up, wash us, clean us, present us beautiful and glorious. So I want us to think about that. If we were to liken our relationship with Christ to a marriage or some similar relationship, what would the way that we treat or not treat that person say about how we value the relationship? If I were to constantly lie, cheat, or demean my wife, could she possibly consider that I love her? Us police officers sitting here in this room, how many times have we seen this where someone, they want so badly to think that this other person loves them, and yet every action shows that they don't? How many domestic violence calls have we been to? Fellow police officers here. And you know, everything about it says that this person is of no value to you. Could we say that it's a good relationship? Or would we rather say that this person who does those things doesn't really love us because of what they do? Do we show our love for somebody when Jay's trying to get a new dishwasher, and Chris keeps repeating after him like a child and demeaning him. And all, you know, when we mistreat each other, brothers and sisters, when we do that, does it show that? So do our actions matter? Well, it must matter. And I want to go now to Matthew in the 15th chapter. And I want to read I'll probably start at 12, but before this, the scribes and the Pharisees, these guys who were constantly challenging Jesus, they came up and they're just looking to be a pain to him, and they said, "Hey, I see that your disciples are going and eating and they're not washing their hands," right? It's probably a little bit gross, right? But what were they doing? You know, they were trying to find a reason to say, this guy's not actually a man of God. He's not telling them to do right things. It's a way to accuse him and try to tell other people, see, he's a bad guy. And so Christ begins to talk about some of these things. And he speaks of some things, and then in verse 12, his disciples come to him and they came to him and said, "Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" Hey, you irritated the Pharisees. You know that? As if Christ was concerned about it. He says, "Let every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall in the ditch." Then answered Peter and said unto him, "Declare unto us this parable." And Jesus said, "Are you also yet without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth out in the belly, goeth into the belly, and is cast out in the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." You know, I was just talking about this, that the way that I treat Gary is indicative of what I feel like our relationship is. The way that I treat my children is indicative of what I feel like our relationship is. And if I go every day and every time I see my children, I tell them they're dumb or they're stupid, or I find some reason to be abusive or whatever we see out there in the world, what is it saying? You know, Christ says, you know, not washing your hands and eating, that's not really the sin. Something that goes in, that's not what we're talking about. What comes out, what it is that you do shows the quality of your heart. This to me is something that we have to, this is my answer when somebody tells me that, you know, well, you put too much emphasis on works. What you do is not what Christ is looking at, but what Christ says is what you do shows really where your heart is. It must matter. My marriage cannot possibly be good if I look to demean and demoralize and break down my wife every time I have an opportunity, or when I get frustrated or anything like that. What we do must matter because it shows the value of our relationship. How do you see this marriage between you and God? I want to go to Moroni chapter 7. And I'm just going to read one verse. And this goes hand in hand with what Christ said. Verse 9 says, "For behold, a bitter fountain cannot bring forth good water, neither can a good fountain bring forth bitter water. Wherefore, a man being a servant of the devil cannot follow Christ, for if he follow Christ, he cannot be a servant of the devil." He says, you know, what we say, what we do, those thoughts that are going on in our heart, it should be something that we look at, and it's an indicator of how you view your relationship with Christ. Bitter fountain doesn't bring forth good water. You can't get something good to drink out of a fountain, out of a spring that has poison in it. It's impossible. So what we do must matter, and we need to consider this. This is why we should every day, we should be considering. Looking back at our day, looking back at our interactions, or at how did I do? Is there something I need to change here? Am I showing God that I actually care? Does this marriage, does this relationship, does this love that I'm supposed to have, is it true? Is it pure? Is it how it's supposed to be? There is a standard that has to be upheld to have a good marriage. No one is going to say when they're asked about their marriage, "Well, my husband hits me. I know he's been cheating on me. He lies about all sorts of things, but it doesn't matter because he loves me." Nobody would say that. Nobody would say that. Now, I want us to really look inward. And do we feel like the Lord is going to say that? Well, we probably, I don't think within our walls here we have sins of adultery and fornication and all those things. But, you know, I have to ask myself this. You know, the conversations that I'm involving myself in. Is it what the Lord, when I promised to follow Him for all my life, is it what He expected me to be involved in? Sometimes I still do this, as I run particular thoughts or conversations or things through the Marlene filter that I have. What would my mother-in-law have said? She thought the word booger was you know, the worst thing you could say. What would Marlene say about it? Our life is not about floating through without a tiller, without something to give us direction. The Lord is the one who gives us a requirement and tells us His desires for us, and we promise we'll follow Him, and He blesses us, He gives us good things. I want us to think about that. I want us to think that that those things, how we treat our relationship with the Lord, how we interact, where we let our thoughts go, what we watch on TV, and that's a challenge for me. It's really a challenge for me. I've shared with you already. I'm looking forward to it. I'm 3 months out. 3 months, and I'm done with my probationary year, and then I don't have to do some of the things I have to do right now at the fire station. I can be free to choose a couple more things. I'm looking forward to it because there's stuff sometimes that I really am challenged by. But I want us to think about that. What you do every day, is it showing the Lord that you love Him with all your heart? Let's go to Deuteronomy in the 11th chapter. This is a cool chapter. This is a cool chapter because it goes hand in hand with the previous chapter, chapter 10, and it's this lengthy promise and this lengthy encouragement that the Lord is giving to His people. And He, over and over again, He tells them, you know, if you love Me, I want you to do these things, and this is what I am going to do for you. You know, I do think it's important that we remember that a good relationship is reciprocal. I get something from every good friendship I have. There is something that I get from it. And it also requires that I give. Can't have a good friendship if I'm not willing to give. Can't have a good relationship with my wife if I'm not willing to give and I get good things in return. And it's the same way with God. And I just want to read here. I want to read 18 through 22, then I'll jump to 27. This is a 10 and 11 are super good chapters to read and to hear these things that the Lord is promising His people. And you know, if we believe that God doesn't change, this is a continuation of a promise that comes down to us today. But it says in verse 18, "Therefore, if you shall lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they might be frontlets between your eyes, and shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, thou shalt write them on the doorposts of thy house and upon thy gates, that your days might be multiplied, the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon earth. For if you shall diligently keep these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to watch in His ways, and to cleave unto Him." And if we jump down to 27, He says that you're going to get a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord which I command you today. You know, one of these things, as I talked earlier about dating, and, you know, when I was dating my wife, and I don't do a good job, I'm not dating my wife anymore, and she probably would like me to date her again. I was thinking about this the other day, and I'll tattle on myself. We were up scouting for a hunt we have next month, and I'm out there looking up. We're out by Williams, and it's just beautiful. Grass everywhere, wildflowers everywhere. I see these beautiful flowers, and I said to my boys, "I need to bring some of those home." For who? For Grace. Because Grace loves flowers, but my wife loves flowers. And I don't remember that I'm supposed to continue dating her sometimes. But you know, here the Lord says, if you spend your time considering what you felt and think about it and consider this person, consider the Lord, consider what He's done. If you think about His words, His promises, His earnestness to you, and you consider it, You look at it when you walk out your door. You talk about it to those who are around you. When it's something that is in your mind, when you consider the love you have for God and it's something that is continually in you, He gives a blessing. There's a blessing that comes with it. Just the same as my relationship is blessed when I spend time considering what the needs are of my wife, what the needs are of my friends, what those are, considering what can I do? How can I be a blessing? What are their needs? What do they need to tell me? What do they need to think? You know, I just want us to think about that. And I'm almost finished. I'm going to read this last one and we're going to come to a close and give you just these things to think about. This, I want us to think about this, that everything I've been talking about, relationships and all that, I think it has to do with this whole concept of works. That's such a question and such a point of contention within Christianity today. Does it matter? Absolutely it does, because it shows what we value, the value we have on our relationship. Everything we do, if I turn my back on the Lord, if I choose to live in sin, if I choose to do those things that He has clearly told me not to do, I'm telling Him what value I have on my relationship with Him. It is a bad relationship. It's not a relationship that fulfills the promise that we made, that I would love Him with all my heart and all my mind. You know, I want us to think about this. As you go to bed tonight, as you think maybe for a couple minutes in the silence before you go to sleep, before you say your prayers, you know, what is your relationship like with Christ? If you were to ask Him, would He say, "We've got a great relationship. Adam does this for me." You know, he prays with real intent. He thinks about how he can honor me in the things that he says and he does. He's looking around to see where the needs are of others, knowing that it's a blessing to them when he follows my word to do well for others and all. You know, would Christ say that? Would He look at our relationship and would He say, "It's a good relationship"? Or would He say, "You know what, Adam, he struggles with his language. He doesn't talk the way I'd like him to. You know, he involves himself in things he ought not." He, you know, whatever it is, what would that conversation be like? What would He say? I want us to think about that. And we read this one last scripture here, and this to me is so very important. John 14 and 15, simple. "If you love me, keep my commandments." We show our love for the Lord when we do the things He asks us. We show what value we have for our relationship. When we don't, we show what value we have for our relationship. It must matter. Does God grant us, you know, does His grace cover us? Sure, He wants to forgive us every time we make a mistake. It's His desire. He loves to forgive us. He suffered to forgive us. He wants that so much, but He doesn't accept us when we turn our back and we push away from Him. But I want us to think about that. Does what we do matters? Why do we obey the commandments? Well, because the Lord says, if you love me, you're going to do those things I ask. This is how we show it. We do these things. And one of these other things I want to leave you with is I've looked at this in my life, and you know, I don't ever want to try to sell the gospel. Be a salesman and say, you know, if you do such and such, God, but you know, it comes with such blessing. Our relationship with God comes with such blessing. Our relationship with Christ comes with such blessing. I live an amazingly good life. Amazingly good life. And it comes with blessing. And there's all sorts of things I don't anticipate I'll ever be. I don't think I'll ever be rich considering, you know, as the world sees. I'm probably never going to be in phenomenal shape or anything like that. I don't anticipate I'm gonna be marked down in history books in any way. But God is good to me. God is good. He's good to us. He loves us. He's looking out for what is best for you. He's thinking about how He can bless your life. I have to believe that. I have to believe that. So I've experienced it. I've felt it. And so, you know, as I go to bed tonight and as I think about it, you know, this is what I'm going to think about tonight. What does the Lord see about my relationship with Him? What's it look like? And am I doing those things that show Him this matters? or not. So I thank you for your time and your attention, and God bless you each.